Lean Marks, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good in yourself. And I always trust Dr. Marburg.
Because he's a doctor. Right.
Because he's a doctor.
I love that. If hatred was the cause, then we know the cure, right?
Absolutely, we do.
All right, so let's go there, Rolene. Let's go there. Let's talk about, because Anthony Reich yesterday in the Israel report made a comment that, people in the, expats very concerned about what's going on. And then we moved on to the Israel report. A lot of messages started coming through, and there's always this discomfort around this conversation, and which is why I wanted to go there. Let's talk about this. What are expats feeling right now, looking in on South Africa and the situation here? And obviously, you're speaking for yourself. You're not, there's not a society of expats that get together to have one view.
You'd think that they would, because during this past week, I've been quite engaged on various levels, helping to make sense of the situation for people here and for people there. And one thing I love about you and I chatting is that we're never scared to go where few dare to tread. And it's important. It's important that we have this conversation, because I see a lot of conjecture, a lot of people saying, that maybe there is gloating coming from the expat community. And I can speak for the expats in Israel. There might be some around the world saying, I told you so, which I find extremely, extremely insensitive. But in Israel, we have a mixture of reactions. We have the majority of us feeling very, very concerned, heartbroken at what we are seeing, not just for our community there, but also for the country at large. Speaking from myself, very, very heartened to see the incredible cooperation and doing something that only South Africans can do, which is getting together and banding together, working to clean up neighborhoods, to defend neighborhoods, to try and help those that are in distress. What I've found extremely disconcerting on this side is the amount of expats stirring panic, saying we've got to get everybody out, we've got to forego this bureaucracy and that bureaucracy. Somebody even saying, and this came from the South African side, why doesn't Israel just send in a plane and airlift all these South Africans? This kind of rhetoric does not help.
I saw that and I thought, well, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm actually okay. And I'm busy. Do I have to get on this plane that the expats are sending?
Well, first of all, just to be clear, we're not sending a plane.
Okay, thank you.
It's extremely.
If you do want to send a plane, Pesach next year would be lovely. I'd love to come to Israel for Pesach. So if you want to send a plane there, as long as you give us a return trip as well.
Well, this is it. I think that expats and people in other countries have to be very careful not to patronize people who've made whatever decision it is that they've made. And also people in South Africa need to understand not everybody has left South Africa because they were pushed. Some people were pulled for a variety of reasons. For some people here, it's about, wanting to fulfill their Zionist dreams. For others, it's something different. But we're not sending a plane. I think, people think that you just overnight just, get these things together and land them there, thinking, we've seen in Israel's history, the magnificent airlifting of Ethiopian Jewry, of Yemenite Jewry. And, these weren't missions that literally happened overnight. Of course, we're watching the situation closely. Former South African, who's now in MK, Ruth Wasserman Lande, who brought up the issue in the Knesset during the forum, which is an open mic forum. She literally had a minute and a half to speak, and she said it's distressing watching what's happening. This is the situation on the ground. But it also doesn't help when you do have expats here on numerous Facebook groups going, waver the waver the bureaucracy, make it easy. And I know that the Aliyah Department in South Africa and the Israel Center are working, you know, as much as they can to help those that are making Aliyah do the process as expedient as possible. No country is going to waver apostilling documents. It's a legal requirement in every single country, you know, as is police clearance. So that doesn't help, and it does create a sense of panic here. But for the most part, we are concerned. These are, South Africa's a country where many of us grew up, were educated, our family, our friends, our community, you guys, all of you who are listening, are still there, and we certainly want to see South Africa thrive.
Yeah, it's such a difficult one because of course, many things can also be true. You know, you can be worried about a South Africa as well as saying, well, you know what, I am grateful that I left because I wouldn't want to be living in the situation there. You can be saying that, you know, I absolutely love the place. I don't need proof that my decision was the right one about South Africa, because that's what happens, unfortunately, is there's these push and pull factors. So sometimes people leave a place, they go and live in another place, and then they keep looking back because they're not settled yet, and they keep saying, well, you know, there's proof as to why I left. There's proof as to why I left. But if someone's actually truly happy where they are, they don't need to prove it looking backwards. They're just happy where they are.
Well, that is a very, very important point. You know, we also see many people looking at us thinking that we landed here in Israel and everything is hunky-dory. Guys, don't believe life on social media, because that's a very, very narrow lens to look at somebody's life. And you do get those who are trying to justify maybe feeling homesick, maybe feeling unsettled, maybe just not being able to make wherever they are feel enough like home to them, looking for reasons to justify why they have left. And you know what? That's fine. That's you know, that's their narrative, and we can't knock them for that, because it is very, very difficult to up sticks and go and live in another country, especially a country where you don't speak the language, and the cultures are very, very different to what you are used to. So they are trying to justify that, and perhaps they're doing it in a way that's very, very insensitive to people who are still there. So it's a very, very difficult,
balance,
tight walk to navigate.
It's so interesting because a couple of weeks ago, I don't even know, time with COVID is just a bizarre space, but a couple of weeks ago, or I don't know however long it was, when you were sitting in bomb shelters and it was the most terrible time, I don't think there was this concept that said, oh, you see, people around the world are actually, you know, Jews around the world are actually secretly getting some satisfaction. So why would it have be the other way around?
Well, that's exactly that, is that we didn't feel that you were looking at us going, well, that's Israel. Look what they have to deal with, you know. For those of you who have left the country, look what you have to deal with. I think there's a real concern. So a minority excluded who might feel a sense of satisfaction, and we can mention them by name, that there are rockets falling on our homes, a very, very terrifying ordeal to have to go through. But we are, you know, those of us living here genuinely want to see South Africa thrive. You know, we want South Africa to be to be the beacon of Africa, to be the economic powerhouse of Africa, to be everything that in 1994, when we made that transition into democracy with such hope, we want South Africa to be that country. I saw a comment from somebody on Twitter early on saying, you know, that if things come right in South Africa, they're hightailing at home. And I have some mixed feelings about that as well, because if you want to see South Africa succeed, you have to be part of the solution. to making South Africa succeed as well. I'm not going to judge you why you made the decision to leave, because we all leave for a variety of reasons. But you know, you can't just only take the good. It's the same here in Israel. You can't just stay here, you know, when everything is great and normalization deals and signing memorandums of understanding. You also have to take Israel when we are under attack and have to come together as a nation to help each other through it.
What's interesting as well is that the perspectives are very, very different. And I want to explain, I want to say why I'm saying this, and maybe you can talk to that, is I find that when people go and live overseas, and we lived out of South Africa for about 5 years, is you're constantly asking yourself, and people are constantly asking you, are you happy? You take your emotional temperature 3 or 4 times a day when you've immigrated. You keep assessing, am I happy? Am I happy? Am I happy? When you live in a country that you've born in, that you've grown up in, you don't ask yourself that question nearly as frequently as people that overseas do. So when an incident like this happens, it's natural for the people overseas to be saying, well, what are they doing there? And why are they there? And should they be there? And is this right? And are they happy? Because this has become the norm for them. But it isn't for people who just live in a place. Maybe that is partly where we get this different perspective. What do you think?
I think you're right. And I think we also see, you know, when things go wrong, and I've noticed it with the community, and you know, you can be, feel free to throw the tomatoes at me later or send me the hate
There's
mail.
There's a shortage of tomatoes. Don't go there, really.
Sorry, guys.
Jeez, come on. A little insensitive. Whoa.
Sorry, guys. Jeez. Feel free to throw a shoe at me. Right, I mean, you know, exactly. I love shoes. I'm going to take it as a personal affront. When things do go wrong in South Africa, there are members of the community who immediately say, Israel must come in and fix it. That's also not very, very helpful. Israel must send vaccines. Israel must just send a plane. Without understanding all the different layers and moving parts that's involved with us helping. You know, if I had a shekel for every time somebody has sent me a message saying to me, why aren't you sending vaccines? You know, these are very complicated issues. So I think, you know, when it comes to issues that may be divisive, I think whether it's us here in Israel or if it's you guys in South Africa, take a step back, take a beat and think, let's think about this rationally.
Absolutely.
Let's think about what's involved in doing that. And let's maybe from the outsider's perspective think, you know, maybe people are happy. And instead of creating hysteria and
packing them on a plane against their will. Exactly.
Ooh. Let's take a beat.